Hi, I'm John. I'm one of the pastors at Victory, and I'm also the director of our provincial churches. At Victory, we are committed to plant churches all over the Philippines, believing that together we can disciple this nation. Hope this message inspires you to honor God and make disciples.
Matthew chapter 1, if you have your Bibles with you, if you're from the old school, I got my Bible. If you haven't had your old school Bible, we have it. You can use your phone, or we can have this. You can watch this keynote, and we're gonna read from Matthew chapter 1. We are reading from the very first book in the New Testament, and I'm gonna be jumping as far as some of the verses. But let me just start here, starting in verse 18 of chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, because they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all those took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Going to chapter 2, verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet out of Egypt, I called my son. And then in verse 19, but when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee and went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for this morning, for giving us the chance to come together and hear once again a classic story, Lord God, of you responding, Lord God, and seeing the need of mankind. So loved us so much, you send your only gift to solve man's dilemma, and that is no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. May our hearts be encouraged today as we hear the preaching of your word. This we pray in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Go ahead and take your seats. I was watching one of these short vids on YouTube, and there was this young boy who was giving a report to his mom. And he says, Mom, guess what? I got the classic role in the nativity story in my school. Classic role. The mom says, oh, I know what it is. Joseph, right? And the son says, nope. It's better, even better than that. He says, oh, what? Like one of the wise men? And says, nope. And they started exchanging and bantering. And finally, the child has told the mom, I got the role of door opener. Now, I thought Joseph had the most pitiful character in the Bible, you know? Joseph have never had any script. All he has to do is to stand. Remember in Nativity story? All to stand with black ink on his chin. And he would just stand for not even yes or no, or not even nodding, you know? Just stand up there. And this is Joseph with no script. I thought he's the most pitiful character in the Nativity story, but I like that young boy. He was so positive about this new role. Maybe the teacher couldn't find any place for him. He was just asked to open the door. But here in this story, I would like us to see the announcement done by the angel through the POV of Joseph. Joseph might not have had any important script, but he exemplified what you and I can be as far as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a man who was righteous, a man who had been such a classic Jew, who loved the Lord, been waiting for the Messiah to come. And he set the example, and he faced such a problematic situation, and yet he was the coolest person that we should emulate or imitate as far as his disposition was concerned. And so as we move along today, my prayer is that we'll be able to appreciate that announcement. But seeing that announcement, hearing that announcement by a person who had a struggle inside of him, who had a question inside of him, and yet he remained calm and pursued God's purpose in his life. We're going to go through that at this moment, and there are four Christmas lessons we can learn from Joseph. I want to go through it quickly as much as I can. And the first one is something to do with his misgivings in his relationships. There's been misgivings in his relationship, and the lesson we can learn from there is that when seeing things as unclear, choose to act responsibly. When things are unclear, choose to act responsibly rather than rant. When things are unclear, take a deep breath and act responsibly as a person, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, just give you a background of being betrothed, it's almost like being engaged. But the only difference is that when you are betrothed, you're supposed to be calling each other husband and wife already. You're already in covenant relationship with one another. Okay? He's your hubby and you are the wifey, okay? And you are husband and wife, even though you're betrothed and you have never consummated the marriage yet. And so this is a very crucial and important relationship in a formation of the basic important unit in society we call family. And so here's Joseph, right after mentioning the genealogy of Christ, the author Matthew went ahead and talked about this announcement through the perspective of Joseph, who had a hard time. And before they came together, she was found to be with a child from the who? From the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Here's why Joseph is a hero. He was willing, he was a just man, and so therefore he is about to do what was right, which is to divorce. That's the least thing he can do, to divorce. but to divorce her, not just to do the right thing, but to do it in the right way. To divorce her quietly. Why? Because she could have posted on Facebook immediately and exposed her, and yet there's a dilemma in his mind. How can Mary do this to me? But I knew Mary. As far as knowing her and her character, this cannot be done. How can this be? Binabakuran ko to 24 hours. How can she be pregnant? And yet, there's a dilemma. I knew her. See, this is not supposed to happen. But I also know that this is not my child. I am sure of that 100%. I know her. She is righteous as I am. A good Jewish person as I am. But one thing for sure, we have not consummated a betrothal relationship. And so what a dilemma, unclear situation. What would you do if you are in a situation like that where things are unclear? What are you going to do? I want justice. Yeah, but how are you going to respond? Are you going to lose your Christianity and your righteousness and let all the fruits of the Holy Spirit fall on the ground? Wala lang, pagdadrive pa nga lang, laglag na lahat ng prutas eh. Ito pa kaya? Nakuha niyo yun? Kristiyano yun, ha? Kristiyano yun, no? Kaya natuto ko, Pastor Alvin, eh, pag mag-park sa baba, natuto ko mag-park ng gentle, eh. Kasi mamaya, aakyat din sa service yung sumingit. Tapos nakita niya, ay, pastor pala yun. Kaya sabi ko, kailangan talaga set an example, eh. Kasi lalo na kung ikaw, pastor. How much more you're driving and you're just praying the Holy Spirit and you're so high and you're singing Awake 84 or Victory Worship and then suddenly somebody cut you off and boom, nawala lahat ng prutas. Ito, we're not talking about driving along EDSA. We're talking about the reality of life. We're talking about your betrothed, your fiancé, and yet pregnant. When things are unclear, choose to act responsibly. That's why we see that misgivings in his situation, and instead of just exposing her, she loved her still. There was a balance of love and justice. I'll divorce her because I cannot understand, and I think it is right, but I love her so much, I don't want her to be exposed. Or else she be, in a way, be stoned to death. I don't want her to be exposed. You see here the balance of justice and love and the way he had carried himself. But the second lesson we can learn here is the means of understanding, which is through a dream. And when God is speaking, choose to listen carefully. Choose to listen carefully. And let's look at verse 20, and it says this. And as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. In a dream. Now, what's the difference between a dream and a vision? A vision is you get to have some, almost like a trance, with your eyes open, and you see something. But in a dream, obviously, you're asleep. And the angel spoke to him through his dream. Who among you here, you had a dream? You have a dream before. Raise your hands. You had a dream last night. Can you raise your hands? You had a dream? Okay, good. So you know what I'm talking about. Now, some of you, you woke up this morning and says, "Ah, it's just a dream, you know, and it's just a dream." Joseph could have done that. Joseph could have awakened that morning and says, "Huh? An angel spoke to me? Oh, it's just a dream." No, he didn't. Right here, the Lord, during that time, the Lord would speak through a dream. Now, some of you probably could say, "Oh, maybe I can talk to the pastor and interpret for me the dream I had the last year. You know, I had 10 dreams. And I want interpretation. Look, he is a pastor. He's not a palm reader or somebody who would do that. It might be, you know, a person could be bordering on superstition if you do that. Usually, when there's a dream, it's just once in a while. It's not all the dreams. But he knew there's something different about this dream. And so an angel spoke, and then the announcement was given. I wanna magnify this part, okay? The means of understandings that he was able to understand because of this announcement. So the first one here, you see Joseph, son of David. The angel addressed him through his dream. The angel knew his name, and he was the son of David. Now we all know that verses 1 through 17 is all about genealogy. Matthew is an amazing Jew, and he was writing the book of Matthew for the Jewish believers. And so he was like a lawyer. He was presenting Jesus Christ. This is the gospel of Matthew, explaining the gospel of Christ to the people and presenting him like a lawyer using the custom and the beliefs of the Jewish people in order for them to be convinced of the veracity of Christ being the Messiah. And he kicked it off by going through genealogy. Who among you love genealogy? I mean, first book of the Bible, and then you read verse 1. Verse 1 pa lang, inaantok ka na. Aabutin hanggang verse 17. And you're wondering, is this it? Why start? You know, mas magaling ka pa sa author, no? You could have started with a sense of action. You know, why go through these boring names? I can't even mention their name. No, this was not written for you. Just a reminder. This was written for the Jews. And genealogy is so important to them. So why was this announcement so important? The angel recognized that he was genealogically, if I can say it right, verified. He was verified as a Jewish person, and he was called Joseph, son of David. Or maybe like Aryeh that I know in Israel today, his name is Aryeh Bar David. He's the guy who would ask us to go, and he was our tourist guide when we went to Israel. His name is Aryeh Bar David. So he could have been called Joseph Bar David. Bar means son of David. And so here's Joseph Bar David. And he was verified. The angel spoke, recognized him. Do not fear. Have you tried being in a crowd and somebody called you by your name? Let's say your complete name. You're in a crowd and somebody says, "Hey, Ferdinand Luzano Cabiling." And you look around and says, "Is somebody angry at me?" You know, mention my entire name, you know? And you look at the person and he looked like a stranger and he mentioned your entire name. And you're wondering, is this BIR? Because BIR usually know your entire name, right? Or Citibank. Now that's worse. You know, Ferdinand Luzano. What? Did I not pay last month? You know, so somebody would do that. Have you received some phone calls like out of the blue, there's no name, and you try to answer it, you're bored, you're waiting for someone, and then you answer it and say, "Hello, oh, I'm calling from Citibank," and calling from Citibank. Why are you calling me? Banks are not calling people. But why are you calling me? You know, and I start questioning them. So and then I turn off the phone. But there's a. This is a. It's like in his dream anyway. So he says this must be serious. It's like your wife calling you, your first name, darling. If everything is well, Ferdinand. If there's a problem. Is that the way it is in the house, Pastor Alvin? You agree, Aaron? Yeah, you see, I knew it. And you knew there's a problem when you're called your entire, and someone used your entire name. But this is to verify genealogically that Joseph was the right person. And then he says, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. Here's an angel. You are having a dilemma in your brain, and an angel has to come and explain it to you and instruct you not to fear. He could have said, do not be confused. But he says, do not fear to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. He started talking that this is a supernaturally conceived. Supernaturally conceived. Because he couldn't find any answer to his dilemma, but the angel calling his first name and telling the supernatural conception, he was hearing it. This is a different kind of dream. And then verse 21, by the way, it says there, fear not, or do not fear. Say, fear not. You know, there are actually four fear nots in the Bible. That's something we can go through. But fear nots, do not fear. One to Zechariah. The other one is to Joseph. The other one is to Mary. And the last one is to the shepherds. And especially the shepherds. Imagine telling the shepherds, do not fear. Now, these are the most rugged people in town. These are tough. These are toughies. And yet, angel said, do not fear. Wow, lahat matatakot pagka anghel na. Right? So, do not fear. But here's one of those do not fear message. And he was instructed and explained to him that this baby was supernaturally conceived. And then verse 21, I'd like you to look at verse 21. And it says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will save his people from their sins. He was divinely named Jesus. Jesus is not that special of a name during that time. Jesus is like Junjun, you know? You know what I mean? It's a normal name, like Vong Vong, you know? It's a normal Filipino name. Junjun with an H, right? It's a normal Jewish last Filipino nicknames. So for him to be named Jesus, it wasn't really that spectacular, but the mere fact that this baby was named Jesus, it made it special. And then the definition of the name Jesus, meaning he will save his people from their sins. It's almost like the angel was saying, this baby that is about to be born will be born to die. Because it would take blood in order for sins to be forgiven. In the Old Testament, it would take the blood of a lamb to be sacrificed in order for the sins of the Israelites to be covered. So for him to say that he will save their people from their sins, Joseph knew that his death, without even seeing the baby yet, he already knew the destiny of the baby, which is to die and his blood will be covering the sins of men. How many of you are glad that Jesus came in order for our sins to be forgiven? Are you glad? Come on, let's give him praise for that. In order for sins of mankind to be forgiven. I could imagine Joseph. His dilemma went beyond personal to global. Are you here? He thought he was just a simple problem of a fiance getting pregnant. But now after hearing this, he realized, I got a part to play. I'm going to be the daddy, adoptive father of this baby. What a privilege. What a privilege. This is not only for the forgiveness of my sins, but for the sins of the world. That's my Joseph. So we see he was divinely named. And this baby, you know, that was the announcement. But Matthew, being the author of the book, kind of inserted his agenda. What was his agenda? To prove to the Jewish believers that Christ is from the Old Testament, that he was prophesied even from the Old Testament. So Matthew had been quoting Old Testament verses. Are you here with me? There are some good motivational speakers. They're just that, good motivational speakers. I even attended a church one time. Pastor Aldwin knows this, but I visited churches for 1 month. I took a vacation, and Pastor Steve says, I had a 1 month vacation, and Pastor Steve said, don't attend in any Victory Church, because if you attend in Victory Church, you will start working again. You're not having vacation. And he's right. Every time I sit in any Victory Church, even in abroad, when I attend an Every Nation church, my mind is always cranking. And then I'll go meet the pastor and sit down. I'm still working. So Pastor Steve says, don't attend a Victory Church. Go to any church. But when I attended, so I did. I went to different churches in Manila. And there was one church. In one sermon, there are five sermons within a sermon. I mean, so packed. My notes were so full. He was my professor in a seminary. And I still love him up to today. He's my favorite seminary professor. When he preaches, he has 3 to 4 sermons in one sermon, right? And then I went to another church. There is no verse at all. The guy just spoke and didn't even mention any verse at all. And I was wondering, why am I carrying my Bible? I went to the States. I attended the church. I went to their seminar for the entire week. Sunday, I attended the service with a Bible. And the pastor did not mention any Bible verse. I was frustrated. I went to the lobby, talked to the one in charge of the table. And I said, I brought my Bible. I came all the way from the Philippines to attend your seminar for a week. I brought my Bible, but I've never even opened it in the service. Then I went back. I went back, and then I left. That was Saturday. Sunday, I attended again because I met one of the Filipino pastors, so we attended. This time, the pastor stood up and read the Bible the way I read the Bible to you this morning. I said, wow, thank you, Lord. Somebody's preaching the Bible. But Matthew was kind of like that. He was not just trying to tell people about an angel and this person. No, no, no. He was verifying it with the Old Testament. And this is what he says, verse 22. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Then he quoted Isaiah in Matthew. And it says, behold, the virgin shall conceive. Let's all read this together. Ready? Go. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, this is now Matthew putting a definition of the name Emmanuel. In Isaiah, it wasn't like that, but since he was writing this for the Jewish believers, Emmanuel means God with us. Sumong you hear, your name is Emmanuel. Raise your hands. Anyone here? Anyone here? Manny? Are you here, Manny? Nobody. Okay, Manny is not here. Emmanuel. He did this several times within 2 chapters. He mentioned this, quoting Old Testament verses 5 times. That's Matthew. His presentation was solid. What else? Let's look as we move along and this message, the manner of obedience. Let's look at how Joseph changed his perspective. And when he woke up, this is what he did. Manner of obedience is when receiving God's word, choose to respond obediently. Choose to respond obediently. Verse 24, when Joseph woke up from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. I could imagine him waking up in the not on the wrong side of the bed, but he woke up with such excitement and faith. And he says, and he took his wife, but knew her not. You know what that means? Because knowing that she was pregnant, she didn't touch her for the last 9 months. He didn't. And he took him as his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. Say 9 months. 9 months. She's my wife, but there's never been any consummation that had happened between the two of them. And so, verse 25, knew her not until she was giving birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Why did he name him Jesus? Because the angel told him. So we see here Joseph with no script, but packed with action. He just obeyed God. He heard God's word and obeyed God, and that was it. And the last one, I want to end with this. The last one, mindfulness of the Holy Spirit. And where God is leading, choose to follow willingly. Because he obeyed the instruction from the Lord through an angel once. Guess what? He had been led by the Holy Spirit for the series of times. And he was spared from different problems and dangerous situations because he had obeyed the Lord once. The Lord had been with him all along, all throughout the situation that he had been in. When there was a problem in a certain place, the Lord called him to go to Egypt, and he did. Once again, when he was in Egypt for a time, then the Holy Spirit spoke to him. I just read that this passage of the scripture, and then he went back again. The Holy Spirit, the angel says, go back to Israel. And he did, but when he realized that the son of the old king, who is such a bad king, was still reigning, he stayed put and remained in a place called Nazareth in Galilee. That's why the Son of God was called the Nazarene, which was a fulfillment still from the Old Testament. Now, I'm saying all of this just to share with us that as we continue to follow God and his plan for our lives. You know, we don't have to have so many words to say. We don't have to be so flaunting about these things. God is looking for hearts who are willing to follow him. And according to that announcement, I say this, that the advent of the Messiah, as validated by angelic visitation, And royal lineage, the genealogy, and the Holy Spirit's work, and the prophetic fulfillment proves the undeniable truth that Christ was born to die for you and me. That truly Christ has come. When we remember Christmas, we remember that the Lord has done what he had promised through his Son who came. Truly his name is Jesus, meaning that he will save his people from their sins. And thanks be to God, we've been recipient of his forgiveness. That's why we're here today. Amen?
Thank you for joining us. You can visit victory.org.ph to find a church, join the Victory Group, and give online. Thank you for partnering with us in discipling the city, the nation, and the world through your generosity. For more messages like this, you can subscribe to this podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.